Today on Real Radio.
He's saying that we as Christians, when our heart's divided in the pursuit of things, we have taken Jesus out of our engagement relationship that we do have with Him according to the Scripture, and we insert something of the world. And God says we're adulterers when we do that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs, continues in his series through the New Testament letter of James. We're looking at the first six verses of chapter 4 today, where the author asks some challenging and convicting questions about wanting the things of this world. You see, it's impossible for you and me as believers to desire the pleasurable things of creation, because that would make us enemies of our Creator. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing now in his presentation called Our Internal War.
You see, listen carefully to this. If you as a Christian have something against another Christian, what does the Bible say to do? Go to them privately. Or if you know that another Christian brother has something against you, go to him, her, privately. Doesn't it say that? Don't make it public knowledge. You go to them and you try to settle the account. Privately. That's what God would have us to do. You don't mount a defense against your situation. You see, in the church at Corinth, there were warring and fighting with one another. In that church, they were saying, hey, you guys, as a church, they were saying in that church, we follow Paul's teaching. And then some people on that side of the church said, we follow Apollos. He's a great speaker. And then some people in the back of the church said, we follow Peter. He's going to be the first pope. Anyway, we're following him. And then somebody in the crowd in 1 Corinthians says, we're following Christ. They were probably the most divisive of them all. We're following Christ. And Paul says, you're all a bunch of carnal people, he said. You're all divided. He says, is Christ divided? Is Jesus' arm on one side of the sanctuary, his foot over there on the other side? We're in our little clique. We're in our little club. Paul says, shame on you. Why? They were warring as a church among themselves. Paul says, I'm ashamed, and you should repent, he says, before I come. When you repent, you let it go, and you don't defend yourself. Don't war. You and I are not to war with our brother or our sister. Let God deal with the situation. The next thing that we see here is not only to war, but this word to fight. The word fight means to cause friction, and it suggests with personalities to rub against each other. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, they're given a great description on how we should treat our enemies. In verse 18, it says there in Romans 12, that as much as it is possible, live at peace with all men. There are those even within the church, according to James chapter 4 here, that we ought to, because of personality conflicts, you know that you can't communicate well with them, or they with you, that you just leave it alone and abide with each other peaceably. Don't war, don't fight. But James says there are wars and fights among us. He's assuming that the church goes through it, and it does. Boy, this guy's amazing. He just lays it out there. Note this. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Look at this. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? The word members, this is the word that you could apply to your, do they not war in your hands, in your eyes, in your ears, your feet, your body parts? Now, of course, your body parts are neutral. They don't, my hand is not evil. But if my heart directs my hand to perform evil, I can lift my hand in prayer or praise to God, and turn and strangle the guy standing next to me. Why? My heart commands the operation of my hand. You with me? The hand is innocent. It's a nothing. It's the heart that it's connected to. So when he says here that in our members there's this desire for pleasure, What is suggested is that we war and fight to get the pleasurable thing while our brothers and sisters do not have the pleasurable thing. It's competition. It's bickering and warring to get on top. And James says this happens in churches, happens inside Christians. Why? Because you and I have two natures. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. We love the Lord and we love His Bible. And we want to do the perfect thing always. But why do we wind up doing the imperfect thing? Because we have the old nature still living. The Bible says that we are to crucify daily this old man. Are you talking me to go home and slap my dad? No, not that. Not your dad, the old man. Us, the old inside, who we used to be. When we're tempted, that's the old man. When that temptation comes up, we begin to war, don't we, on the inside? Lord Jesus, get these thoughts out of my mind. Lord, I don't want to be thinking like this. I don't want to be eaten by this, Lord. And there's that battle. You know what I'm talking about? Or is it just me? Somebody say amen before I get discouraged. Hallelujah. Tremendous battle regarding personal desires that war within our members. The next thing that we see here is the second point found in verses 2 and 3, and that is, listen, why we're not always content. Because this battle that's going on in our lives, we are not always content. And you might say, well, can anybody, can any man really be content? Are you ready for this? In 1 Timothy 6:6, the scripture says, godliness with contentment is great wealth or great gain. Yes, it is possible to be absolutely fully content if we follow Jesus, keeping Him in our sights. The moment we get our eyes off of Him, we begin to get right back into the way we used to once operate or the world is currently operating. So, why are we sometimes filled with an ungrateful heart or a heart that's not content? Well, look what he says here. He says in verse 2, you lust and you do not have. You know, just that sentence there alone ought to drive you nuts. Can you imagine lusting after something all your life and never having it? Sounds like some daytime program, huh? They should name it like that. You lust and you do not have. We'll be back in just a moment. You lust and you don't have. Isn't that funny? You murder and you covet. And you can't obtain it. The word murder here, don't panic, exactly. Or maybe the definition's even worse. It's not killing someone. The word is to assassinate their character, to destroy their reputation. That's what that word murder means in this Greek that James has written. To destroy the person. James says Christians are guilty of this. James says that we have this thing within us that causes us to lust after things. Listen, it'll lead to destroying the reputation of the person that has what we don't have, and we covet that thing. Hey, did you see Bill? He just got a brand new Dodge Viper. Yeah, he probably stole it. Why did you say that? Because you're jealous. You're covetous. Bill's not a thief. He works hard for his money, you see? Oh, yeah, I see. Inside the old nature of every one of us is this thing that drives us to the temptation of lusting for something. Character assassination is within us, and coveting something is within us. These three misleading things. Look at there. They're actually methods. Why are we not always content? Look at our method. Our method is that we murder. Our method is that we covet. Our method is that we lust. Why are we not always content? Not only our method, look at our motive. Our motives are wrong. James says here in verse 3, you ask. By the way, the word in the Greek to ask means to beg uncontrollably. Please, 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 please. You wear somebody up. Please give me, please, 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 please. Okay, shut up and take it, will you? It's not a knowledgeable request. Begging, 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 begging. And you don't receive it. Why? He says, because you ask amiss. The word amiss means to ask badly. You're asking, the word means to give a request that's diseased. You have a diseased request. Why? The heart is corrupt. Even in the Christian? Yeah. Hey, come on. Let's lighten up a little bit on our holier-than-thou attitude, you know? The fact of the matter is, read your Bible correctly. The fact is, when we get over to the other side, we're going to march through the pearly gates by God's grace. We're going to step and turn around and look at the back end of the gate, and it's going to say, saved by the grace of God. Sinners saved by the grace of God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, well, if that's the case, let's go live it up. A Christian doesn't think like that anymore. We hate the sin. We don't plan on sinning. When we trip up because of the old nature, there's that war. Trip up how? Lusting? Assassinating someone's character? Coveting things that God either doesn't want us to have or He'll give it to us in His timing. And we approach Him with the wrong motives. We ask amiss, we ask badly. Why? That we might consume it upon our own lust. We might get it for ourselves, to spend it. Some of your Bibles say to spend it upon ourselves. The word there means to misappropriate what you're asking for. He's not going to give it to us because we're going to misappropriate it. You say, well, I'm not guilty of that. Yeah, you are. We all are. James says we all are. And I thought about this for a minute. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this just for teaching purposes. I'm going to sample myself. And the three things came to my mind. If I were to do this in a, now this is a blatant way, but we're all guilty in some respect, and that is, okay, Lord, if you bless me with a new Suburban, I will bring kids to church on Sunday. You see, I'm asking with a diseased motive to consume that vehicle upon my own lust. So what? So I could drive down the street saying I have a Suburban and you don't have a Suburban. Now, the next thing that came to my mind was, and Lord, if I just owned an In-N-Out Burger franchise, then I would feed the hungry. You see how we think? This is how we think. Now you say, no, that's how you think. No, the fact of the matter is, I am making a really gross example of what is very subtle and internal in all of our lives. Amen. The third thing is, the third thing, Lord, just to round it all off, if I had that home that overlooked the sea there at Corona Del Mar, I would see to it that I would bring a homeless person home with me. You see, that's all wrong. Oh, God, if you just give me a wife, then, Lord, I'll serve you. No. The Bible says you shall have no other God before Him. The Bible says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. And all of these other things can be added unto us in God's time, in God's will, Matthew 6:33. Our methods are wrong. Our motives are wrong. We don't even know how we ought to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. We so often miss it. We're not always content because we desire to have that very thing, whatever it might be, for our own selfish gains. The third and final point is in verses 4 through 6, and it's the victory that we should be enjoying. I say that the victory we should be enjoying because it is absolutely available for us. You actually can live this life without desiring someone else's wife or husband or car or home or income or status or influence in life. The Bible says that if we come and taste of the Lord, we will see that He is good. Jesus says, I offer to you bread that if you eat it, you will never be hungry again. To those of us who have come to Christ and received Him, have you noticed how filled you are? It's a wonderful thing. You are filled with His presence. You are filled with assurance. He is my God. I know the creator of the universe. Thank you, Lord. And you're filled. You're content. And yet in that same wonderful thing, there's this hunger that wants to drive you on to know him more. Jesus also said, if you drink of the water I have to give, you'll never thirst again. And the woman at the well who had five husbands said, Lord, give me this water to drink. She had gone through her life experiencing one need after another and finding out that nothing could fulfill her need. And then she met Jesus. That woman was sampling life, maybe because I don't know the woman. But maybe she sampled life trying to find fulfillment. And fulfillment only comes in Christ. And I'm not talking about a church affiliation or denomination or a membership. Christ Jesus is not this church. Christ Jesus is not you or I here. Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity, God come to earth in human flesh, died for our sins, rose again from the dead for our justification, that any of us who would put their trust in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Who qualifies? You got to be a sinner to qualify, honestly. The only way you can go to heaven is if you first become a sinner. And there's some good news about that qualifications. The Bible says we were born one. So we all can go if we just ask him. So there's a great victory. James is telling us that our hearts are prone to division and separation from him. I want to wrap it up by going through just a few things, and this is extremely interesting. I want you to look at your Bibles carefully. I'm going to give you four principles, and I'm going to go through them very fast, so mark them down. The first principle that we see in verses 4 to 6 is that our relationship to God must be singular. Our heart cannot be divided. He says adulterer and adulteresses. What's he saying? He's saying that we as Christians, when our heart's divided in the pursuit of things, we have taken Jesus out of our engagement relationship that we do have with him according to the scripture, and we insert something of the world. And God says we're adulterers when we do that. Christians, us commit adultery spiritually when we have some other love on the throne but Jesus. The scriptures say here that we become at war with God. The word enmity is to war with him. We're resisting and fighting him. He says, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Thinking that you can be a Christian and live another way? And the Bible says, no, you're at war with him. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So our relationship with him must be singular, number one. Number two, regarding our victory, is that it's based upon the reaction of the Spirit. And this is extremely important. Everybody wake up and look down at your Bible and watch this one. Very important. Some of your Bibles read it this way. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the capital S Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? That would lead you to believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and he yearns jealously. And you might say, like some scholars say, that means he is jealous and only wants to be number one, and certainly that is true. But that's not how it appears. And by the way, this scripture is under great, great controversy, one of the most debated scriptures in the Bible, this verse right here. Most scholars, though, say that it's a capital, or it's a lowercase s, that the spirit that dwells in us, that is our old spirit, yearns jealously. And you might say, well, I don't know if I buy that. Well, you better listen carefully, because the words here, yearn jealously, are connected with sin and evil. Now, the Holy Spirit's sinless. Another argument for this being our spirit and not the Holy Spirit is found in verse 6. But he gives more grace. The word but is in contrast to. Your spirit wars inside you toward jealousy. It yearns in that direction. But don't be swallowed up with defeat and fear. Why? But he gives more grace. It's a victory. He gives us more grace. Grace to make it through. Grace to overcome these things. in the midst of our lives. And then he says in verse 5, just backing up for a moment, do you think that the scriptures say in vain? And then he makes the statement that the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. Another thing that we know about is very interesting. You are not going to find a verse in the Bible that says the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, except right here. So what's James saying? Is there a part of the Bible we've missed? No. What James says here in verse 5 is that the scriptures, all of them, the Bible gives witness to the fact that we have this tendency for jealous yearnings and sin in this area. But don't be swallowed up with defeat. God gives more grace. You see that? Did I give you the third one? I didn't. 3 and 4 are those four principles. The third one is God resists the proud. Simply put, the Christian who is proud and independent from God and not dependent upon the Lord, God resists. He resists the Christian. The word is stick out the chest, or to go chest to chest. Humble yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself under His mighty hand and He will exalt you in due time. The very things that you might want as a Christian, you ought to put God first and humble yourself, and maybe in time God will give you the things that you are desiring His way. It's got to be His way. And finally, number 4 was, God has given us all that we need. He says there, verse 6, but gives grace to the humble. This word grace encompasses all that is needed for victory. Wow. What a God we have. Inside of you, is there a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit? If there is, then you're wonderfully saved, and I know it doesn't feel like it, but the Lord is working in your life. If this morning you're sitting here thinking, well, none of this makes any sense to me. I've never had a battle inside. I just kind of do what I want to do, and life goes on. And it's the way it is, and I don't get this thing. There's a good chance that you don't even, because you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a good chance of you not knowing God at all. This could be like a barometer right now for you. Because Paul tells us that there's a struggle in the life of every believer. The old Jack fights against the new Jack, and the old Barbara fights against the new Barbara. Well, who wins? Whichever part of Jack or Barbara eats the most. If the spiritual Jack gets to eat, then he's stronger and he wins. If the old man Jack eats more, video games, goofing off, no things of the Spirit, not sowing to the Word of God, then the old man gets stronger. So who's winning in your life?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Our Internal War. It's a hard look at what James says regarding the desires for earthly pleasures and possessions versus wanting the things of our Maker, like wisdom and humility. Our Internal War is the title of this examination of the first 6 verses of James chapter 4. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter written by the half-brother of Jesus himself, and we'll continue it on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it's just about here, the 2012 Southern California Prophecy Conference. It's a big deal. Perhaps this time last year you told yourself, you know, maybe I'll go. And now it's that same time once again. It all gets underway starting this Friday at 6 in the evening. Then, of course, Saturday and Sunday, too. We've got a great lineup of speakers like Miles McPherson, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, apologist Charlie Campbell, and, of course, Pastor Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills as well. For more about these great guests, as well as all the other info on the event, visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. That's all one word, SoCalProphecyConference.com, for the 2012 Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Our telephone number for all the info you need is 877-RR-RADIO. Give us a call at 1-877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.